Now, so far I haven't mentioned what I, of course, regard as being one of the most vitally important parts of Australian space research, and that's the Australis amateur radio satellite, which I was privileged to be a member of a team which built that at Melbourne University in the mid-1960s. Australis arose out of an organisation at the university called the Melbourne University Astronautical Society, and when I went to university first in about 1962, it's a long time ago now, this society was showing old NASA films at lunchtime and not doing very much else. So a group of us who had joined it decided this was a bit boring, so we built a satellite tracking station on the roof of the physics building at the university, and we tracked satellites and proved we could do that. We picked up voice communications from some of the American manned spacecraft. We sent signals up to them, but they never actually came back and talked to us for some reason. And anyway, that also became boring, so we thought, well, what's the next step? And the next step, of course, was to build a satellite. Well, the next step was to send the Treasure into orbit, but he didn't want to go, although he was fairly short, so we decided to build a satellite. Now, this was, of course, fairly crazy in the early 60s, and Sputnik had only been up for about 5 years, and a group of Australian, not only amateurs, but students, who, of course, didn't know very much, to be able to build a satellite was almost unheard of. So, however, we set to, and we asked an organisation in America called Project Oscar, who'd already built four satellites and had them launched by the American Air Force. We said, if we build a satellite, will you put it up for us? And they wrote back and said, if you build a satellite, we'll try and put it up for you. So that was all we needed. That was the opening of the door, and we went ahead and started to do it. Once we'd got some of the bits and pieces built, we decided that we'd better test them, and we went up to Mildura, usually terribly early on a very cold morning, and we attached part of the satellite package to this device, which you can see here. The balloon is, in fact, what it looks like. It's a balloon. The thing on the left is a flatbed truck, and the bits on the back of the truck is what they call a gondola. It's full of scientific instruments. The American Atomic Energy Agency at that stage was testing background radiation in the atmosphere, because the Americans were, and so were the Russians, undertaking atmospheric nuclear tests. Now, these days, if any country dared to undertake an atmospheric nuclear test, they'd be pushed off the side of the planet and told not to come back. But in those days, it was all the going thing. The arms race was very much on, and the tests were certainly taking place, and these instruments were designed to help to measure the background radiation in connection with those tests. So the idea was that the balloon was partly filled with helium at Mildura Airport. They closed the airport while this was happening, but as the launches happened about 4:30 in the morning, nobody really wanted to fly in there. Anyone who had any sense was tucked away safely in their beds at that hour of the morning, apart from those of us who were involved in it. And then when the balloon got up above the truck, the truck's driving under it, and at the critical moment, the guys in the back of the truck fire a explosive bolt which releases the payload from the back of the truck, and if all goes well, the balloon is then directly above the truck. The balloon lifts off, the truck goes away, and the balloon goes up to about 120,000 feet, where it sits for about 12 hours, and then they send a signal to it which rips a side out of the balloon. The balloon deflates, a parachute opens, and the thing lands in a little desert up near Mildura, and the guys go out in the Land Rovers and recovery trucks and get it back. That's what usually happened. What often happened was that something went wrong. I was up there on one of them where we had our package tied to the side of it, and the balloon went up above the truck, and they fired the button. The payload took off about 10 feet above the truck. The connection between the balloon and the payload broke. The payload crashed down about 20 or so feet onto the runway, and the balloon went off, never to be seen again. And they used to have some fairly hairy and exciting moments, because getting the truck under the balloon was always a tricky business. Anyway, we used to have amateur radio operators around southeastern Australia listen for the signals that came out of this package, and we learned quite a lot about how to build a satellite from those tests. Now, this is the actual satellite. This is Australis. It doesn't look very exciting, and from the outside, it wasn't very exciting. It was basically a metal box. It had to fit into a certain spot in the launch rocket, and our American friends said to us, well, this is the best shape. Antennas were made by the Stanley Tool Company, who make Stanley knives and make those carpenter steel rules that you use to measure things. And when we went to the Stanley people and said, look, this is what we need, they said, oh, that's no problem, that's fine. well, we're happy to do it for you, and we'll make them specially strong so they withstand things in space. And I'm not sure Stanley really knew what they were doing, but as it turned out, they worked very well. When we went to pick them up some weeks later, this was 1965, before metrics came into measurements. We were still in feet and inches, which the kids in here wouldn't even know what feet and inches mean, of course, but we oldies, it took us a long time to convert from feet and inches into metrics. And lo and behold, the feet and inches were all marked on the steel rules, the same way as they are when you pull an ordinary carbon or steel rule out and have a look at it. And we said, oh, that's lovely, but we didn't actually want that on the thing, you know, it's a bit sort of, you know. Ugh. And they said, well, we're sorry, but that's the way we make them, and we can't take them off. So this satellite is in orbit, and it'll stay up for another 475 years. It comes over the Earth over Melbourne at 9:30 every morning and every night. And for the next 475 years, there will be Stanley tapes in orbit with the feet and inches clearly marked on them. We went to the Henderson Federal Spring Works, who were then in North Melbourne, and said, we have an unusual job for you. We want two springs that are very similar to each other. We don't want one stronger than the other. They've got to be very precise. And they said, oh, yeah, what's this for? And we said, we want them to push a satellite out of a rocket. So the foreman went and got the boss, and he came down, and he said, you want to push the what out of the what? Anyway, Henderson's, blessed their soul, did all this for us for free. This whole satellite cost us $1,400. That's not $1.4 million or $140,000 or $40,000. It's $1,400 to build. And the springs actually worked very well, because when the satellite was pushed out of the rocket, it was hardly spinning at all, so they did their job very, very well. This big thing down the bottom here is the nozzle for the second stage engine. And we had a few concerns when the Oscar people told us that this is where the rocket was going, the satellite was going. We said it's awfully close to the engine nozzle of the second stage engine, which has an awful lot of heat and flame and smoke and stuff coming out of it. They said, oh, no, it's okay, it's in space and everything's insulated and everything's cold, there won't be any problem. And in fact, there wasn't. It all worked very well. And liftoff. And the launch was at 9:31 p.m. Melbourne time on Friday the 23rd, January 1971, so getting up towards the 30th anniversary of the launch. So everything went well, the launch worked well. We had a fairly efficient public relations organisation going in Melbourne. A couple of us in the group decided to let the press know about this, and space in those days was still new, so we got quite a lot of publicity. So got a black paint pattern on it. On the first orbit of the Earth, it became very clear from the signals we were getting back from Australis that the paint pattern was very wrong. The first orbit, she was running at 55 degrees, and we thought, we have a cooked satellite here. It's not going to last. But then the temperature came down over the next few days. It stabilised at about 40, but it was running about twice as hot as it was supposed to. But still, the old girl kept going, and in fact, it operated for some 6 weeks, which was the planned lifetime of the batteries. And as I said before, it's still up there. It'll be up there for another 475 years. That was Australis, and it basically worked very well. Unfortunately, however, that was our last satellite. There have been no more Australian satellites built or launched since then. Thank you.